Proverbs chapter 11, starting tonight with verse number 18. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are a forward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their ways are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So we're going to start with verse 18 tonight, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the scriptures you give us. Bless this simple truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So here we see the wicked and the righteous, and both have a work that they're doing. Okay? Wicked can be anybody saved or unsaved, the sin of wickedness is to sin with the intent of harming others. Is that right? So the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Okay? So it's a lying or cheating or a twisted work. So when we're living wickedly, we're used to twisting things. Okay? Let's just be honest with ourselves tonight. When we're deciding to hurt someone, we usually have to twist something to harm them. We have to exaggerate a situation or twist something. Our intent is to harm, and when we intend to harm, that's what wickedness is, we're always twisting things up. Amen? We're perverted in our ways. The word perverted means twisted. All right? So, the wicked worketh deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So God promises a good, sure, solid reward to those who live righteously. So here we see, now we're seeing in chapter 11, the way that we behave and how it benefits us. So our behavior, our work, our behavior, the things we do, if we do it wickedly, we're going to, our work is deceitful. And by the way, the things that we get by deceit end up to kill. We found that out earlier in this chapter, didn't we? That it destroyeth. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So what we need to do is we need to sow the right things in our life. We could even take some Bible verses in the book of Ephesians that talk about sowing and reaping in chapter number 6. He that soweth to the flesh reapeth from the flesh. Reapeth a whirlwind, the Bible says. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit. So we need to sow the right things. Amen. What you sow is what you reap. You can't sow a corn seed and expect to get carrots. You're going to get corn. So if you're sowing wicked things deceitfully, you're going to get deceitful results. But if you're going to sow righteousness, then you're going to get the proper rewards. Not just here on this earth, but there's rewards in eternity. And that we can earn. There are crowns that God wants to give us. But we have to live right in order to obtain those crowns of righteousness that God has for us in eternity. All right. Verse 19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So almost verses 18 and 19 work in conjunction with each other, don't they? They're kind of repeating the same thing. In verse 18, we find out that they're deceitful works, but we find out that he that pursueth this ends up, it kills him. It destroys him. That's what death refers to. Their destruction. But righteousness tendeth to life. Now, there's more than just physical life here. There's eternal life. And see, God teaches us that there is much more to eternity than simply getting there. Some people will get to heaven, I like to say it this way, this is just my own saying, by the skin of their teeth. I mean, they just skate in on salvation, that's all they got. Now how you get skin in your teeth, I don't know. But they just slip into heaven, they just barely get there. They get there simply because they're saved so as by fire. And then there's other people that have great rewards in heaven. I want to use my life so that I have rewards that I can cast at my Savior's feet. The rewards are for obedience. What a greater way to say I love you to someone than to obey him. How can a child really say to mom and dad, I love you, I respect you? It's by obeying them. That's the best I love you a parent could ever receive. I know we love to wrap our arms around the neck of our parent and give them hugs and kisses and saying, I love you. But it doesn't help when we've been disobedient, when we've been deceptive, when we've led deceitful lives. Well, it's easy to say I love you after you got caught doing something wrong because you're trying to get on the good side. But the truth is that obedience is the greatest way to say I love you. And the greatest way that I can tell the Lord I'm grateful for what He's done for me and what He's given to me is simply obeying Him, obedience. It's the greatest way for me to say I love you to Him. And it has rewards both for me here and eternal life. And so, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it unto his own death. So I will also say this too, it says their own death. But I believe that death spreads too. It's like a disease, alright? You may not be able to catch cancer like you can catch a flu or the cold. You may not be able to get things that way, but I do know that we can spread disease. A disease that nobody wants to get is the HIV virus. And that is spread because of sin generally, not all the time, but often. It can be spread through a blood transplant, or transfusion I should say. It can be spread by a pinprick. Some form of that nature, but generally it's spread because of sin. Because death leadeth to death. Death spreads to other people. And so in our own death, we're hurting ourselves, but many times our own life hurts other people. I know of a man today that was sentenced to 12 years in prison for what he did wrong, and he deserved it. In fact, in my personal opinion, I think he could have got more. But the truth is, he got 12 years in prison for what he did wrong, and he did wrong. But I can't tell you how much more the wrong did, not just to him, but to the victims of what he did wrong. Can I tell you that whenever we do something, it always spreads to somebody else. Whether it be righteousness, unto life, or wickedness unto more wickedness, which leads to our own death, but also the death of those around us. Every one of us has an influence. We influence those around us. And how we use our influence makes a great big difference. You know, it's amazing to me. Think about this for a moment. If I say Rahab, what's the next word you think of? Rahab the? All right. I say King David. What do you think of about King David? Anything? You think anything about like murder? You think of adultery? I do at times. I often think about that. When I say Moses, I think about Moses leading the people through the wilderness. But there are a lot of people that would hear the word Moses and say murderer. Because oftentimes our bad outlives our good. And you can live a whole life of doing good and doing good and doing good and destroy it with 15 minutes of sin. With an hour of sin or a week of sin or a couple months of sin and destroy decades of work that you've done. Because of a short period of sin. Why? Because death spreads faster than life does. You know how they say a rotten apple can ruin the whole bunch? That's true. One rotten apple will spread to a good apple more rottenness. It's odd how that works, but it works that way. And if you can get all the rotten apples out, then you can save those apples for a longer period of time. But you got to get those rotten apples out. And the same is true with our society. And people, rottenness has a tendency to spread. So it even goes further than just simply our own death, but the death of those around us. Verse 20, they that are of a forward heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their ways are His delight. So we have a chance here to be a delight or an abomination. The word forward means twisted or perverted. Now we saw that further up in verse 18. We saw that in verse 18, the wicked works the wicked worketh a deceitful work, twisted, deceitful. The same is true about forwardness. God says it's an abomination to him. The word, just to do that, makes God sick. It hurts Him dearly. Hurts Him greatly. So it's very important that we learn to live right. See, it's a day-by-day living. That's what this is simply talking about here, all through the book of Proverbs now, is how to make these daily choices, these hourly choices, these moment-by-moment choices, and the effect that they have. So the effect of verse 20, they that are of a forward heart, notice it says heart, not mouth, or behavior, because it's a twisted heart. We have a heart towards the Lord, and we have a heart towards the devil. You can't have both. But most of us do have both, don't we? We want to do the right thing, but we find out that we end up to do the wrong thing. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter number 8. When he wants to do good, he finds that there's evil within him. He wants to do the right thing, but doesn't find the ability, it seems, to overcome that. And that's why we must live lives of filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can choose the right road. So let's look at this again in that thought. They that are of a forward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their ways are His delight. So we need to make sure that we live the right way. What's in your heart ends up to be how you live. Because what we do basically comes from our heart. Now, I realize that there are times we say things, do things, and behave in such ways that really doesn't reflect what's in our heart. But much of how we live our life, in fact, all of how we live our life, comes from our heart. That's why it's very important that we hide the Word of God in our heart. Because out of our heart springeth life. And that's what we're going to get. If the life that we live, we need to make sure we live it in a righteous format or fashion. It's not just enough to read the Bible. We've got to hide it in our heart. It's not just enough to listen to the Bible, though that's important. We should read it every day. We should listen to it. We should listen to preaching of the Word of God. But we also have to hide it in our heart, because that gives us, empowers us when temptation comes. And our biggest weakness is when that temptation comes. The devil knows how to work, and he knows that it's good to hear the Word of God. It's good to read the Word of God. It's good to be around the preaching of the Word of God. But when it comes to that moment-by-moment thing, it's what's in our heart that makes the difference. So we've got to get that heart right. How do you get that heart right? By doing good? No, by memorizing the Word of God, hiding it in our heart. For decades, I misunderstood that. Get your heart right with God. Do the right thing. That meant pray and read your Bible. But nobody said anything about memorizing it. But it's the memorization of the Word of God that changes the heart, which then changes our life. So we've got to get it in us. So that our actions, notice in verse 20, it's the actions that become the delights. So they're righteous in their ways are His delight. I want to make God delighted. I want to make Him happy. I want to excite the Lord. I want Him to be glad I'm His child. Amen. I don't want Him to go, oh, there's Doug again. Look what he's doing. I want Him to be delighted in me. I see pictures, my grandkids. I delight in my grandkids. All you got to do is send me a picture of my grandkid and I'll get delighted. I'll get excited. I don't worry about how my grandchildren behave. They're not my worry. When it comes to behavior, it's up to their mom and dad to discipline them, not up to me. So I can simply just delight. I mean, I get excited. I get thrilled. I was working on my computer. And when I got home from today, and I went upstairs to do some work on my computer, and on the screen came a photograph of three of my grandsons together, all dressed up together like Batman, Robin, and Superman, and there they are. Two of them had their arms around each other's necks, and the other third one stood just a little bit behind the other two, just a little bit. And I just got so delighted with the expression on each one of their faces. Now, they're not, two of them are brothers, the other one's a cousin. Other two brothers, of course, never mind. And so it was just exciting to look at that picture, and I just was mesmerized by the expression of each one of my grandsons in that photograph. My son sends us photographs from the Philippines of our granddaughter. And it takes nothing for Grandpa to swell right up with pride and glee and excitement just to see what she's doing. And that's how I want the Lord to think about me and you. I want Him to delight in us. That's what He wants in us. So then we need to have righteous living. Amen. Verse number 21. Though hand join in hand, The wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. I like that statement. First, I want you to notice that this is talking about agreement for the future. Both of this one, the two statements in this one verse are talking about a future. Though hand joined in hand, they're talking about two people agreeing on something and going forward with it, okay? The wicked shall not be unpunished. It will seem, often seems that all these things happen, all these agreements, and it seems like wickedness is always winning, but there is a day of judgment. And it comes. God takes care of it. I don't just mean in eternity, I mean it's going to be taken care of. Wickedness ends up to be punished. And you don't want to be there when it happens. Amen? So it's happening in the future. And then it says, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Notice it doesn't say the righteous, it says their seed. Sometimes we may have to go through some things in our life for the future of our children. The future is secure in Jesus Christ when we do the right thing. We must then do the right thing. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Delivered from what? I think it's the wickedness of the unrighteousness. That's where judgment comes. If you look at the nation of Israel, you can see where wickedness rules, the people suffer. But when righteousness reigns, the people rejoice. And you can see it time after time after time again. When the kings reign and through the judges in the book of the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, the book of 1 and 2 Kings, the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles, you can see Israel going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, all the time. And the future continues to get stronger for those who stayed right. I want you to notice that Israel is divided into two countries, Judah and Israel. And Israel's judged way before Judah is. And taken captivity and destroyed way before Judah is. Judah goes a lot longer. Why? Because of the righteousness in the seed of Judah. So your children's future oftentimes depends on your behavior. The future of your grandchildren depends on your behavior. That's why it's so important that we do right regardless of what it costs us to do right. It's all Bob Jones Sr., an old preacher, been in heaven now for many, many decades. He was the original founder of Bob Jones University, but he's been in heaven since 1968, I think. And he used to say, right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. He got that from the Bible, because right is always right. It's always right to do right. Don't do wrong for a chance to do right, just do right. Because if you do wrong for a chance to do right, you're not going to get that chance to do right. It's going to end up to be wrong. Because sin is always sin, and right is always right. A lie is always a lie. Perversion is always a perversion. So we just need to do the right thing. Amen? We just need to do the right thing. Verse number 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Here is an interesting statement. It's a double negative here. It's talking about the ugliness of that which is beautiful when that which is beautiful doesn't have any discretion. What's the word discretion mean? Well, that's one of our 10 words that we learned at the very beginning. Remember, discretion means to have a plan. The plan comes from God by wisdom and understanding. And then we can get discretion. So the power to choose right or to decide right or to decide or act right according to one's judgment and a freedom from judgment or choice. So the definition that I just gave you comes from a dictionary. But here's how it really works with the Word of God. As we discussed early on in our study and the introduction. Months and months and months ago. So here's how it's really applied. The power to decide right from wrong or to act according to one's judgment, learn from the wisdom of God, and the freedom of judgment or choice as we have learned it from God. So I can live a life free of judgment from God by choosing the right things. That's what discretion is. Saying, okay, here's good, but here's best. Here's wrong, and here's right. Here's what I want to do, but this is the right thing to do. this is what I think and the world thinks and everybody else thinks I ought to do, but this is what God says to do. So we have a choice to make. That's discretion. Am I going to make that right choice or not make that right choice? I remember years ago as a little boy, I don't know how old I was. I don't remember anymore. It wasn't as little as I would like to think. My mother said, "Did you do this?" And I said, "No, I didn't do it." And I did. I had done it. I remember when she asked me, "Did you do that?" I said myself, in my heart of hearts, in my mind of minds, I said, "Boy, if I tell the truth, I'm in trouble. So I better tell her a lie so I don't get the whipping." So I lied on purpose with the intention to deceive. Well, my mother pressed it further, so I continued to lie, as many of us have done in our life. And then my mother started producing facts. And I still continued to lie. Because now I had to stick with the lie that I started with, or else I was in really trouble. Then she said, "I'm going to give you one more chance. Tell me the truth now." And I remember having these conversations with our children. Tell me the truth now. And this will simply be a punishment. If I have to prove you wrong, it won't just be a simple punishment. You're going to get a whipping. I ended up with the whipping. You know why? Because I stuck to my deceit. And that's what happens when we go in that direction. I chose the wrong thing all the way along. I knew what the right thing was. It was gnawing at me. Tell her the truth. Tell her the truth. Tell her the truth. No, no, you're going to get a whipping. Yeah, but you might get a whipping anyway. But no, no, you'll get a whipping. Yeah, but you, but the whipping will be less. No, no, don't do it. I didn't do it and got the beating of my life, as I like to say. All because of my choice. It was my choice. I had not followed wisdom of God. I had followed the wisdom of the flesh and of the world. And that was protect me first instead of being honest, regardless of the situation. And so, let's look at this now again. Verse 22, looked at the wrong chapter. My Bible page got turned there. As a jewel, verse 22, of gold in a swine snout. Now that's putting a piece of gold, maybe a ring or something nice thing, a nice jewel of gold in the nose of a pig. What's the point of putting it in the nose of a pig? The pig is going into the mud and the dirt and the mire and the slop that he lives in. It makes no sense to put anything beautiful there. Okay? So is a fair woman. That's talking about a good-looking woman. Without discretion. Doesn't know how to make the proper choice. In other words, it doesn't matter how beautiful you are. If you don't do the right thing, you're still in a bunch of slop. Amen. So how do you become beautiful to God? By living a life of discretion. That's the beauty to God. And by the way, that's a beauty that attracts other people too. How many times have you heard in your lifetime someone say, "Well, I've never met somebody as honest as you." Or, "I'm glad I got to know you because you've treated me right. You've accepted me like I am as a Christian." Why? Because we learn some discretion. Not judgment. Amen? Not my job to judge. It's not your job to judge. It's God's job to judge. So what can I do? I can just make right decisions based upon what God has taught me from His Word. So that's what discretion is. Making those right choices based upon the Word of God. So God says if you want to be beautiful to Him, if you want to be beautiful to others, then making the right choices are the most important. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to end with it. And when I was in high school, there were girls that you wanted to marry and girls that you wanted to date. And the only reason you wanted to go out with the girl that you wanted to date was because she had no discretion. But that's not somebody you wanted to marry. You wanted to marry the good girl. The pure girl. The girl that did the right thing. Not the one that had no discretion. And the truth is, that's what God wants for us too. Because there's a great beauty in the simplicity of life of choosing God's direction versus our direction. Because that's where true beauty lies. I think if someone's a beautiful person, they become more beautiful by choosing the right direction, making those right decisions, following God's wisdom. I've met some people that, I would say from the world's perspective, aren't very attractive. But they've been beautiful people. Wonderful people. Because of the discretion that they possess from walking in the wisdom of God. That's what this verse is talking about. Very practical, isn't it? Very everyday living. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd make it real in our lives. Help us to walk in your ways and apply these verses to our life. That we can, day by day by day, we can make the proper decisions. We make the proper choices in our life that we would glorify.